Hello everyone. So I decided to do this episode regarding how much I appreciate believers and theists, the ones who have a heart for people like me. I decided that this episode is best done entirely off the top of my head. There are so many believers and theists in the world who are hungry spiritually and thirsty spiritually to love me the way that Jesus intended for me to be loved by them. Because I recognize that when it comes to the times we're living in, many believers and theists, a large segment of believers and theists, are saying to themselves, God is convicting me about the need for autism rights, disability rights, neurodiversity, neurodivergence, neurodistinct, the deaf rights movement, and I want to end ableism and disability discrimination. So what is happening is more believers and more theists are becoming more disability friendly, sensory friendly, neurodiversity friendly. Because they're saying to themselves, I'm repenting of what I didn't do for people with disabilities. I'm forgiving myself. I seek God's forgiveness. I seek God's redemption. So that's what's happening around the world. Believers and theists are saying that I want to serve God, but I cannot have intolerance for people with disabilities in my soul. So there are plenty of believers and theists who are actively learning how to adore and admire people like me as Jesus would. Then there are believers and theists who already have that conviction, meaning they're already pro people with disabilities, but they decided, I'm going to grow in my sensitivity, my holy sensitivity towards people with disabilities, each and every day and each and every night. So that's happening around the world too. There are also believers and theists who are truly convicted by God according to their belief that we have, you know, the whole reality of abuse survivors who were abuse victims And when they read the passages of the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, any other religious texts, they're starting to read parts of those, what they're called holy books. And they see the abuse survivor presence in the Bible as an example. And they read about Joseph's attempted rape by Potiphar's wife. They read about all the physical violence and sexual violence against women in the Old Testament. And they even read about the possibility of a group of men who were implying that they were willing to rape Lot in the book of Genesis. They read all these stories, and their hearts are broken. Due to the neighborly love that Jesus had and has. So what they do is do more research, because there's more to what the Bible says than what is commonly told. So this is what happens. They start doing their historical excursions, and they learn about pederasty, ancient pedophilia. They learn about buck breaking, the racist rape culture of over 400 years. And so what many believers and theists are doing is they're choosing to go where the abuse survivors are. It could be shelters, it could be centers, it could be clinics. They are asking God, how can I be a miracle to abuse survivors? How can I be a blessing to abuse survivors? How can I provide divine signs and wonders to abuse survivors? How can I be a breakthrough to abuse survivors? So that's happening too. So there are plenty, and there are believers and theists who are asking God how to help them to enlist themselves in autism centers, the Special Olympics, in the world of special education. So there are many believers and theists who are growing in their love for people with disabilities and abuse survivors every day. I'll give you this other example that relates to people with disabilities and abuse survivors. There are also believers and theists who are asking God, how can we redesign our churches, our mosques, our temples, our synagogues, our centers, our monasteries, our tabernacles, because they're not designed for people with disabilities and abuse survivors? How can we redesign our houses of worship tailor-made for abuse survivors and people with disabilities? How can we stop the covering up of crime? How can we stop the covering up of sin? How can we stop the covering up of not seeking law enforcement assistance? And how can we start exposing monsters? How can we keep the monsters from assaulting people in our house of worship and outside of our house of worship? And what training do I need to experience in order to have an abuse survivor friendly heart, a disability friendly heart? And they're asking themselves, how can I learn about, you know, how can we implement sensory friendly praise and worship, being mindful of fabrics, textiles, clothing, you know, like clothing, sounds, and what you smell, what you hear, what processes in your head? How can we not bring sensory overload, also known as overstimulation, to people with disabilities? Then they take it a step further. How can we be mindful of, as an example, how can we be mindful of Bible commentaries and Bible verses and Bible translations and Bible versions when we discuss anything in church? When we discuss trauma, so we don't trauma trigger abuse survivors. So there are many believers and many theists who have come to such conclusions, because they're saying to themselves, we have really not always had the holy sensibilities towards abuse survivors and people with disabilities like we should have. So there are people who've already had these sensitivities and sensibilities all these years that are just doing more and more of what God intended for people with disabilities and abuse survivors. So in their mind, I'm just learning, growing, and evolving more and more every time I'm awake. Then you have those who go, I'm starting to learn and grow and evolve. And then there are people in the houses of worship who are trying to really come to grips with, how do we keep people with disabilities from leaving our houses of worship? How can we display the golden rule to them without seeing them as them? And they ask the same question about abuse survivors. How can we keep abuse survivors from leaving the church? And what can we do to be hospitable to them without seeing them as them? So So that, I'm going to paint an accurate picture of believers and thieves. That's something I need to do, and I'm fulfilling that need. And you're hearing it. So my life with believers and thieves, is going to be wonderful from now on, because whenever I'm around true mature believers, true mature disciples of God, I experience spiritual euphoria, spiritual joviality, and spiritual glee in my spirit. Because when I first encounter them, I never doubt my sanity. I never doubt my safety. When I'm with them, I don't even doubt God nor life, because their empathic nature is that rock solid to me. So, I'm grateful that I never allowed my heart to be hardened by those who misrepresented God, to have a hard heart against those who represent God. Well, I'm glad my heart never got to that point. So, when I'm with believers and theists, we don't do theological arguments. We don't do theological debates. We don't engage in any kind of bickering. We don't do any kind of feuding. No verbal abuse, no verbal attacks, no personal insults. All of our conversations and our conduct are Christ-centered. When I'm with believers and theists, believers see me as a believer, and I appreciate that. Theists see me as a theist, and I appreciate that too, because people like me, we appreciate when people notice the God in us, the Christ consciousness within us, the Christ likeness within us. So I am honored to represent God well with believers and deists too. I feel, moving forward, that with believers and deists from now on, now and forevermore, that I see myself from moment to moment serving Jesus with believers and deists in terms of liberating those on the margins, in terms of preventing marginalization from happening, preventing marginalization from happening again. And I've also thought to myself, you know, with believers and deists, how it is so honorable to do kingdom work with believers and deists. Here's how I define kingdom work and serving Jesus so we can all be on the same page. It simply means, if you serve God, Jesus, with your whole heart, you're serving the oppressed with your whole heart. If you're serving Jesus with your whole heart, if you're serving Jesus with your whole mind, you're serving the oppressed with your whole mind. If you're serving Jesus with your whole body, you serve the oppressed with your whole body. If you're serving Jesus with your whole soul, you're serving the oppressed with your whole soul. If you're serving Jesus with your whole memories, you're serving the oppressed with your whole memories. That's my definition of kingdom work. Serving Jesus with your whole strength, you're serving the oppressed with your whole strength. If you love Jesus, your neighbor, you love the outcast, your neighbor too. My other definition of kingdom work. I've said this before, but I'm gonna give you new reasons why I'm saying what I'm saying. Is that I am a person of inner beauty, and each religion have their standards of what inner beauty is and is not. So because I have a lot of common ground from people of all religions, that is why I am the church to the church. I am the mosque to the mosque. I am the temple to the temples. I am the synagogue to the synagogues. I am the monastery to the monasteries. I am the center to the centers. I'm the tabernacle to the tabernacles. I am the house of worship to the house of worship. So In other words, I am a Confucianist to the Confucianist. I am a Christian to the Christians. I am a Muslim to the Muslims. I am a Judaism practitioner to Judaism practitioners. I am a Hindu to the Hindus. I am a Buddhist to the Buddhists. I am the Jainism to those who practice Jainism. I am the Sikhism to those who practice Sikhism. I am Taoism to the Taoism practitioners. I am syncretic Taoism to those who practice syncretic Taoism. I am the Chinese philosophy to those who practice Chinese philosophies. I am the Eastern religions to those who practice Eastern religions. I am the East Asian religions, those who practice the East Asian religions. I am the 100 schools of thought to those who practice 100 schools of thought. I am yoga to those who do yoga. I am the Abrahamic religions who practice the Abrahamic religions. I am early Christianity to those who practice early Christianity. I am Eastern Christianity, those who practice Eastern Christianity. I am Western Christianity, those who practice Western Christianity. I am of syncretic spirituality, those who practice syncretic spirituality. I am all the denominations of all the religions to those who practice all the denominations of all the religions. I am all the religions to all the religions. I'm all the denominations to all the denominations. I am the Bible in human form to those who abide by the Bible. I am the Torah in human form to those who live by the Torah. I am the Quran in human form to those who live by the Quran. I am the Hadith in human form to those who abide by the Hadith. I am the Hikmah in human form to those who practice the Hikmah. I am the previous heavenly books in human forms, those who abide by the previous heavenly books. So I am a person of omnism. This is what it means. I have the respect of or belief in all religions. I hold this belief, therefore I am called an omnist. I call myself an omnist. In recent years, omnism has been resurfacing due to the interest of modern-day self-described omnists like me, who have rediscovered and begun to redefine the term. And that's what I'm doing for you and for me, audibly. Omnism is similar to syncretism, the belief in a fusion of faiths and harmony. That's who I am. However, it can also be seen as a way to accept the existence of various religions without believing in all that they profess to teach. That's my reality for myself. Many omnists like me say that all religions contain truths, but that no one religion offers all that is truth. I believe that because you cannot confine the divine. You cannot have the mindset of, well, the supernaturalism can be caged. Nope. You can't cage miracles, signs, wonders, breakthroughs, and blessings. And that's why one of the reasons why, quote unquote, holy wars, no war is holy, by the way, have done that. And I just say, you know what? I can't experience all wisdom from just one source. I get all the wisdom I need from each and every credible source. And that's how I feel. So for example, for me, the contemporary usage that I apply to myself has modified belief in all religions. That would be me. To refer more to an acceptance of legitimacy of all religions. Again, that's me. The Oxford English Dictionary elaborates that an omnist believes in a single transcendent purpose or cause igniting all things or people. That's my conviction. Omnists interpret this to mean that all religions contain varying elements of a common truth. That's how I feel. That omnists are open to potential truths from all religions. That's my thought pattern. The Oxford Dictionary defines an omnist as a person who believes in all faiths or creeds, a person who believes in a single transcendent purpose or cause uniting all things or people or the members of a particular group of people. That is how I perceive life. Next, it says, Edward Herbert, 1st Baron Herbert of Cherbury, considered the first deist, argued that all religions were true. That is one of my core values of being a fully human being. Then it says, in the poem, All Religions Are One, William Blake professed that every religion originated from God's revelation. I think that way. Henry Stubb and other Socinians synthesized a form of Mahatman Christianity. I appreciate that. Unitarian Universalism, which grew out of the Protestant Reformation, practices omnist beliefs. I do the exact same thing. Other notable interfaith organizations include the Church for the Fellowship of All Peoples and the Parliament of the World's Religions was the first organization with the goal to unite all religions. I have the exact same goal myself. So, yes, I am a notable omnist. I do not want to exclude nor alienate others of different faiths. I see myself as atheist. I affiliate myself with all religions because I have a spirited opening to the truth that lives in all of these religions. And yes, I'm everybody because I'm a people person. I believe in all religions being true. So, yes, omnism is who and what I am. So that is why I can, at this point, honestly say that I'm also a practitioner of Mahatma Gandhi's spiritual humanism, because I can enjoy human rights for all so much more because I'm willing to learn, grow, and evolve when it comes to all religions. So I don't feel like I'm put in a box, because a lot of times practicing one religion, it's very easy, if one is not careful, to assume that nothing good can happen from any of the other religions other than the ones we practice. Like, no, the divine the supernatural, however you define the reality, is too immeasurable to box in. So the divine speaks in all religions, and the divine speaks from the unexpected. So you may get what they call the divine from non-believers and unbelievers too. Because I would say to other believers and theists, if God can speak through a burning bush, surely God can speak through an atheist, an agnostic. The divine does the unexpected more than the expected. So it is possible to experience church from the unchurched, like it's possible to experience church from the churched. Why limit church to just church people? So I'm a person, who believes that true religion is not exclusive. It's not catechism nor rituals. It's not a hermetically sealed house. I believe that true religion transcends denominations. Inner beauty in human form, animal form, insect form, nature form, universal form, life form, earth form, and self form, is God to me. The vessel expressions of the otherworldly. That's my spiritualism. My spiritual humanism, I'm going to get to that right now, actually. To me, there is no religion higher than truth, facts, evidence, knowledge. Wisdom, clarity, discernment, uprightness, justice, empathy, compassion. That's my universalistic outlook. I reject any religious doctrine and any secular doctrine which is in conflict with kindness. The divine is all the positive character attributes that all human beings should possess. And so for me, I have a pluralistic view of religion because I hope that all people can abide by Satyagraha, holding on to truth. And I have efforts to unify those of all classes and religion in this practice. I am drawn by the ancient Indian ideal of Ahimsa. Non-injury, no harm. I draw on a variety of religious and secular texts in teaching and developing my universal morality philosophy. Universal value, I should say. And another thing about me is that I'm a person who really, truly understands. I hope that I can enable people of all faiths and none to live peacefully together, especially if a core ethical code could be shared amongst us all. So I'm a person of secular humanism, and religious humanism. I am religious humanism to those who practice religious humanism. And I am secular humanism to those who practice secular humanism. I use both to reach people for good. So I practice the humanism of all religions, and I practice the humanism of no religion too. That is how beautifully complex of a human being that I am. So that is why I can be in houses of worship of all kinds and not feel intimidated, not feel isolated either. Another thing about me is that I agree with Mahatma Gandhi when he says, like, the chief value of Hinduism, I would dare say, let's modernize it, the chief value of all religions lies in holding the actual belief that all life is one example, all life coming from one universal source, call it Allah, God, or Parameshwara. Every human being has an idea of God in their own mind. That's one of my principles. The interpretations differ due to their innumerable manifestations. I strongly agree. The concept of God differs due to different religions, different countries, etc. I strongly agree. We may all have different definitions of God. I strongly agree. Besides all different definitions of God, there is certain sameness which would be unmistakable in the heart of all individuals that God is supreme power and the highest reality. I strongly agree. God is a dynamic thinker who conceived that nothing exists in reality except truth. I strongly agree. And I do feel that all religious secular ideas should be based on this firm conviction. My concept of religion is undogmatic. I do not do dogmatism. I see religion and secularity as the image of truth. Different religions and different secular ideologies are those different visions of the same reality. I agree with Mahatma Gandhi when he says, for me, the different religions, and I'm going to add in, and the different secular ideologies are beautiful flowers from the same garden, or they are branches of the same majestic tree. Therefore, they are equally true, though being received and interpreted through human instruments equally imperfect. I feel that way. Religion and secularity helps to elevate the inner life of human beings. I maintain that the great religions of the world and the great secular ideologies of the world would try to help in promoting a life of self-control, sacrifice, peace, and harmony between individuals as to create a heaven in earthly form. There's no superior, inferior religion or secularity between individuals or communities. That's my feeling. The meaning of religion and secularity is differing from person to person according to this creed, sect, and ritual culture in which they belong, or no ritual culture at all. My sense of the divine is a spiritual, secular humanism that includes religious humanism and serves humanity on the basis of ahimsa. That would be me. I do feel that moral excellence and elements of it are common to all religions, all secular ideologies. And I signify the unity of all religions, all secular ideologies. So, that is my life with believers and theists.